Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're going to discuss the Man Without a Name trilogy getting a remake, Horizon Fades to Dusk, Devil Wears Prada is getting a sequel, and our topic this week revolves around the fact that movie theaters aren't dead after all, and there's still a lot more of show after that. Let's get on with it. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow hosts, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy.
Troy Heinrichs.
It's just after the 4th of July here in the States, and I'm reading on our format, and I've read Transition America, but it's really Musica. That's what Aaron has written up here, and I was like, well, hold on a minute. I know it was the last 4th of July we'll ever celebrate, but...
Oh, stop it. Stop it. No politics. I don't want to get into that nonsense.
That's where my brain is. Transition America. That's
where I thought. Although I do love the competition. It's Yosemite Sam versus Elmer Fudd. That's what we got going on.
Oh, for sure.
Good luck, America. I hate that fucking rabbit.
The rabbit is the problem. Hey, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider, or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. And what have you guys been up to since it is like a week after the 4th of July? Are you celebrating America still?
No, weeping, because America has to be all kinds of like pervy people. They get HR departments involved and takes a completely cool concept for a TV show off of the air. It was heartbreaking that Horizon is not going to move forward.
Oh, that's what you're talking about? The Horizon movie?
The Horizon TV the TV series at Netflix is dead in the water.
He's talking about the cool Horizon, not the cool Horizon.
There's two horizons that go in the dusk. That metaphor works twice. I like it.
Yeah. They're both in the horizon.
Yes.
Well, explain the one you're talking about, Troy.
One never got over the horizon.
It's true.
Horizon, the video game, which has a...
Zero Dawn, right?
Horizon Zero Dawn was the first game, and Horizon Forbidden West was the second game. It was supposed to be a series at Netflix. We thought that we were going to have some cool people playing Aloy, which is the main character, but unfortunately there were some HR issues. Allegedly. So because there were so many HR problems, they said, screw it, we're just not going to do the series at all.
Wait a minute. Who was the people that had HR issues that shut down something?
It was on the set. Like there were people that were complaining on the set. And so because there was too many HR complaints, we just canceled the whole series.
I smell bullshit.
No, that's a real thing. That happened. There was a toxic workplace. Basically on the set of the Umbrella Academy, which is one of your favorite shows. Same guy as a problem on the Horizon set.
Is it one of the actors?
No, it's the guy that's like the director, creator, running the show, basically.
Oh, well, that's sucky.
Yeah, I know, because I was really looking forward to that.
Steve Blackman, the Umbrella Academy showrunner. Sorry, I had to look it up because I didn't know this was going to pop up. I should have known. Troy was going to bring this up at some point. But yeah, that's his name. He was... You know, he says these claims are entirely untrue and completely absurd, but they canceled the whole show over it. So there's probably a little something going on.
I don't know. One picture of this guy, Steve Blackman, and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy is creepy.
Oh, let's not do that. We've all had those days. Am I right?
Might as well just call him Josh Whedon at that point. Come on.
Oh.
Is it like Joss Whedon's even worse brother?
Exactly right.
It's the other universe version. Well, apparently it's just a doomed name because the movie Horizon Chapter 2 has been yanked from the schedule right before we started recording this. So bad news for Kevin Costner because Chapter 1 didn't do very well. They're saying publicly that they're pulling it off the schedule to give the first film time to find an audience. I think they're looking for time to wrap up Chapter 2 so it ends as opposed to the planned 4 chapters because I see no way this completes the 4 chapters.
Yeah. Because no one needs 4 movies.
Look, I would have watched all 4 of them. I love Westerns. I love Kevin Costner as a Western director. This was just, man, you can't do that with an unknown property planned for 4 movies and just trust the audience is going to be there.
Yeah, what do you think he is? James Cameron?
I know, really.
But Cameron is smart enough to, he can plan 8 of them, but he also is smart enough to realize that each one needs to have an ending so that it stands on its own. Avatar 1, Avatar 2, they do stand on their own in standalone movies. You don't need either one of them to see the other. That's the problem with this Horizon Chapter 1. It ends literally on a to-be-continued reel. That's a mistake.
Oh,
that's true with Avatar, because technically the first hour of Avatar 2 is literally Avatar 1 all over again. But
Kind of. But you can watch either one separate. You don't need the one for the other. And
you can actually watch Avatar 2 and then watch Avatar 1.
You could just skip both if you really wanted to.
Yeah, it's actually the preferred way of viewing them.
Yeah, just, you know what? Do your own Avatar. Smear yourself in blue paint and then just run around in the woods. There you go.
You just described my Thursday nights.
I have very little doubt about that. Do you think this was ever a good idea? Like, we talked about this when we did the summer movie preview. Horizon should have been a limited series, I think. Even some people are saying, well, no, he wanted the scope of cinema. I agree. I'm with him. But again, then you got to change your plan and make it so it's a standalone movie in case it doesn't work. So then you're not, you know, out this dream of yours. If you have a limited series, someone else is paying for it, and you probably get the whole thing done if you wanted it done. Paramount would finance it.
Because then you're talking 10 hours. If he's currently at a 4-movie, 3 hours each, that's 12 hours. You're 12 episodes. You trim some fat and get it down to 10 episodes, and Apple would have totally jumped on this.
Absolutely. Or Paramount. He's got a huge, you know, with Yellowstone, he could work that in his Yellowstone deal.
Well, Paramount's got its own shit going on with the whole Skydance thing that finally closed.
They're still there, though. I'm just saying, you jumped to Apple. And I'm like, he's already got a deal at Paramount. Why would he jump over to Apple? Why are you laughing, John?
Because it's like, you know, because Apple has, we could have been the other, you know, hey, Aaron, you know what would have been great is that if you drove your Apple car, I know they don't have one, but it has to be an Apple car. And Troy, why is it always got to be Apple?
I'm just saying, because it's for the Killers of the Flower Moon was already there. It's a thing that Apple could have picked
up. How do those two things connect? What? How deep are you reaching in this well?
Western. It's Western. It's 1800s.
Just because there are red people in Killers of the Flower Moon does not make it a Western.
It's definitely not a Western. It happened in the 1900s. It was in the 1900s.
You know what? They really should have gone the Fox, because then they could have connected it with Firefly.
It's funny. Don't make me laugh. My ribs hurt.
Well, who knows? Maybe by the fourth horizon, it literally went to space. Who knows? We'll never know.
It could be.
It could have been how they got to Firefly from the fourth horizon movie. Oh, this time travel aspect.
Movie would have sold better. I'll tell you that right now. God,
time travel and cowboys sells like aliens and never mind.
Yeah,
exactly. Horizon could have been the prequel for the Postmen, because it's all tied together.
And nobody saw that movie either. All right.
Exactly.
So the Gladiator 2 trailer, did this win you over? I watched it. I know I'm supposed to be ecstatic about it. You've got Ridley Scott directing. Yay. He's directing a sequel to one of his most famous movies. It's coming out this year. It's coming out November 22nd, 2004. It's got Paul Mescal, Pedro Pascal, Denzel Washington, Connie Nielsen's returning. And after his home is conquered by the tyrannical emperors who now lead Rome, Lucius is forced to enter the Colosseum and must look to his past to find strength to return the glory of Rome to its people. And all I saw watching this trailer was what I was worried about. Beautiful scenery, epic action, little story I care about. What say you?
Did we get story is the question.
I did.
Because as I'm watching this trailer, all I'm going is like, oh, hey, there's Denzel Washington. He looks like Denzel Washington. All I see is Denzel Washington doing Denzel Washington things. Fair. Denzel Washington is a great actor, but in the trailer, all I saw was Denzel Washington, not the character that he's playing. That's problem number one.
And nobody having an accent. It's like seeing Sean Connery play a Russian.
You know? Right.
And somehow has a Scottish accent.
The problem number two I had with the trailer was like, was that Pedro Pascal? Oh, but then I see Paul. But that was that Pedro Pascal, but I see Paul. And it's like these two guys look very similar. So as someone who's kind of just glancily watching a trailer on YouTube or what have you and not really paying attention, you'll be very confused as to which one was Pedro and which one was Paul.
I don't think all skulls look alike.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like a casual watcher watching this trailer, you'd get confused as to which character is who. And like Pedro looks like he's with the governor, and then Pedro looks like he's in the arena, and then Pedro's with the governor again.
Dirt and blood and grit.
It's very confusing as to what is actually going on in this trailer to get me excited to say, I could see the beginning, middle, and end of a story that I want to go see.
I think it's pretty. I wasn't necessarily the kind of person who ran to go see the first Gladiator because I thought I was going to get go see a story. I went to go see the first Gladiator because I thought it was pretty. And so that's all I kind of need. And if Mr. Scott is going to do this, then I'm going to go ahead and say, beam me up. See what I did there? Troy, I made a connection to Star Trek for you.
No. No.
Which means it's going to go and show up on Paramount Plus.
That's connected, right? Because Paramount Plus, that's where all the Star Trek stuff is. That should all move to Apple, too, honestly, if you really think about it. Like, Star Trek belongs on Apple. Why not?
No, because those Star Trek fans are actually kind of cool. It's the Star Wars stuff that needs to move to Apple.
That's what I just said. Oh, Star Wars.
He says, yes.
Never mind. Yeah, that'll happen. Apple's got Disney money. Well, I guess they do have Disney. They got more than Disney money. Yeah.
They could buy Disney.
But yet, they can't make your computer work on the first try.
Sure cannot.
All right, moving on from Gladiator, we got a fistful of dollars. A lot of stuff's happened since last time we were here. What has it been? 3 weeks since we got together?
I don't know how to tell time anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, three since we were like in the present time, two because we did the 1984.
There you
1994 capsule episode.
I never know what year I'm in. It's just, you know.
And you did a solo thing last week or something.
That was just for patrons, just on Patreon. That's all I did. I didn't do anything in the feed. Well, except for vote for us on the Podcast Awards. That's about
it. Oh, shameless plug.
There you go. Podcastawards.com. Go for it. All right. Well, Fistful of Dollars is getting a remake, which I don't like, but it's happening, which itself was a remake of Kurosawa's Yojimbo. And that's on the back of that failed Horizon Part 1 launch, which means they're going to replace Clint Eastwood. If you've never seen A Fistful of Dollars, which many people, I'm sure younger people have not, which is sad, go watch it. It's the spaghetti Western trilogy that is well renowned. Wandering gunfighter Joe arrives in the Mexican village of San Miguel. In the midst of a power struggle among Sheriff John Baxter and three Rojo brothers, when a regiment of Mexican soldiers bearing gold is waylaid by the Rojo brothers, Joe is hired by Esteban to join the gang, but he plays one side against the other. It was the start of the Spaghetti Western trilogy by Sergio Leone, known as the Dollars Trilogy. Some people call it the Man with the Name Trilogy, reflection of Clint Eastwood. And those movies were A Fistful of Dollars, For a Few Dollars More, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. They're only talking about remaking the first movie, A Fistful of Dollars, which is the storyline I just told you. But replacing Clint Eastwood and Sergio Leone, I don't know. Especially after Horizon, I don't know if this is a good idea.
I don't know if Horizon is necessarily anything to measure a stick by, because
Westerns haven't really been successful in theaters as of the last few years.
No, they haven't. But I think we're on a verge of having a renaissance with a couple of different genres of movies, right? It's possible if they do this the right way, we could see a renaissance of Westerns come about. We can see a renaissance of sci-fi and horror all suddenly come about, where there's this space that's open because of the minimum amount of superhero movies that we're currently getting. And I think that it's possible that we're all ready for something a little bit different. So if they're going to take something that like this, kind of, I'm not going to say jazz it up, but keep it the Western, but also keep it something that's accessible to today's audiences, I think it might work.
And who's to say that it's going to end up being a Western?
They did.
Well, they said it's a gunfighter who plays against two rival families. It could be a mob movie.
Sure. But they specifically said they're remaking A Fistful of Dollars, which is specifically a Western. So they could go a different way. Sure.
To his point, it is a remake of a samurai movie. So they could do, like, I don't know, Muppet Babies version of this as a remake. No,
that's your dream. That's not what anyone is thinking. Just you. I'd watch that, though.
Yeah, I mean, a gangster movie, like a Gangs of New York kind of concept on this would be kind of interesting. And then you can do a whole mobster trilogy.
Great. So it'd be like, what's your fucking name, huh? That would be the whole movie. Nobody?
Okay. Maybe.
No.
Well,
you get mad at the rest of us when we do F-bombs.
You literally started with an F-bomb, jackass. You literally did it at the very beginning of the episode.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't actually track what happens in my mouth.
I know, don't worry, audience.
This is where mom and dad fight it again. It's okay. Just enjoy the popcorn.
Wait, this isn't mom and dad fighting. It's when you and him start fighting is when it's mom and dad fighting.
All I know is I'm dad.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
That's dad and angsty teenage son.
Dad and angsty teenage son. That's exactly what it is.
Fine. That explains why you can't remember shit and you didn't clean your room. All right. Another thing that's happening. We're going to move on from that. Miranda, this is kind of, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little excited about this. Miranda's going to return. It was confirmed that the Devil Wears Prada is getting a sequel with the original producer, as well as Stanley Tucci's returning, Emily Blunt, Anne Hathaway, Meryl Streep. They're all confirmed to return. What? Now, the idea of this, the story behind this, right, is that Miranda is now going to have to deal with the end of magazines. That's kind of the storyline here, which it makes it interesting because it is a thing. Like, magazines have really started to die. They're going to be mostly dead in the near future. I like this idea.
Yeah, I think it's something that could be interesting enough that it could garner a watch. It's got the original cast, which definitely makes it worthwhile coming back for. First movie was really, really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. The thing that this one that's going to concern me is if they focus too much on, you know, really pushing her out because she's too old or she's run the end of her course and we need to go in a whole new direction because of the whole internet versus print concept. I don't want to see that kind of story because that's been done 100 times. They got to come up with a different way to say, how do we change from print to digital without ousting the top person at the company?
Or without making it be about, you know, we're missing out on some glory by getting rid of, you know, some fanciful nostalgia about the print edition. It would be nice if they presented it like, this is a great thing. You are reaching so many more people. How do we capitalize on it? What is the best way to do that? You bring in someone with Miranda's eye and vision, and what does that do in a digital space? I think there's some cool ways to go with that that wouldn't be what you were talking about, where it's just a recycled plot.
Yeah.
I do enjoy the idea of watching Miranda deal with today's brand of influencers that come out, you know, these people who suddenly show up on the scene and they, because they have such and such many followers on whatever platform they're on, they suddenly feel like they can talk to anyone the way they feel like they can talk to. Whereas you have Miranda, who's this hardworking person who's practically murdered people to get to where she is and watching.
Probably done it.
Yeah, she's probably done it. Yeah. Anyhow, watching her interact with these people who haven't earned the ability to actually speak to the people, the way they do, and just watching that whole like dichotomy back and forth go on. Words.
Yeah, words. Words are important, John. What I find most interesting is I normally do not like legacy sequels of any kind because I can't remember the last one that. Well, I guess I do. I can. We're going to talk about one in a second that got lucky.
Yeah. I was going to be like, what are you going with this?
But a lot of them don't work, right? A lot of them do not work. Zoolander 2. Ghostbusters. Yeah, that one too. Anchorman 2. There's a bunch of them that just did not. Dumb and Dumber 2.
Spell T-O. Get it?
There's a lot of those, and there is the risk of that. But I, you know, just from, I think, was it the Oscars where they reunited recently? It was just beautiful seeing all three of them, the ladies, all three of them back together, because they're all three still very relevant, very popular, and they still have hella charm across the board. I just want to see them together. I don't really care what the project is. Maybe that's where I'm leaning. So I can't
see that. Sequels are the way to go because Shrek 5 is officially in development, everybody.
Are you really excited about that?
Hell no. Like, do we need a fourth one?
No.
I can't wait to see what that donkey's done to that dragon.
Oh, God. Eddie Murphy is just like, how many houses do you need? You know?
Somebody at DreamWorks said, hey, look at that Inside Out thing. After like so many years, it's really doing gangbusters. Let's go ahead and bring back our biggest thing because we want to see Do the Roar one more time.
That one is a little different, but we're going to come back to Inside Out 2 for sure because that's part of our movie theater discussion.
But everybody's alive. Back.
Yeah.
Myers, Murphy, Diaz, they're all there.
But well, Diaz, they're rolling her out of retirement?
She came out of retirement. She came out of retirement last year. Work with Jamie Foxx. And a movie that isn't out yet, but that's the one where Jamie Foxx, remember, he got ill and...
Oh, right.
Kind of.
I mean, Chuck 5 is going to have a lot of layers. That's all we know.
Is it? Like, what? You're just laughing to yourself. He's literally just giggling in his chair. He's so proud of himself.
It's going to be totally Shrek and what's her face. I can't remember her character's name.
Fiona.
They hatched a hatchling, and it's their life with the hatchling, you know.
But we can't get an Austin Powers return.
Yeah, you know, I would pay money to see that.
I would probably 5 years ago. I think it's probably passed.
Yeah.
That time has passed.
You don't want to see old, fat Mike Myers wearing a wig?
Well, just de-age him like Tom Hanks.
It's no, fine. Baby, no. No. Hey, you know, we've been gone a few weeks, so let's discuss anything new you've been watching that's come out. I want to mention Presumed Innocent on Apple. Holy shit, did the check clear, Troy? Did it?
Yeah.
Did it? I think so, because I think all three of us are watching Presumed Innocent.
I initially didn't want to watch it. I actually just rewatched the movie for Presenting Hitchcock. We just did an episode on that one. And so I had literally just watched the movie, and I was on vacation, and I'm like, all right, let me check this show out. I read the book when it came out. I saw the movie. I knew the ending. So I'm like, what are you going to do different that's going to need 8 freaking episodes, right? Because I saw the movie, and they did that pretty well in 2 hours. Plus, you had Raul Julia, who crushes at all times when he was
playing. Yeah.
They are taking many things in different directions. It is about a district attorney who is essentially arrested for the murder of an associate that he was having an affair with, that he was very obsessed with, and it kind of goes from there. And then it's a matter of who could it be. Now, if you read the book and you saw the original movie, you think you know who it could be, but the creator has already said, we might be going in a different direction, so don't think you know how this is going to end. And I can see that, how it is unfolding. So I'm liking it. Jake Gyllenhaal's a star. I'm really enjoying it. It's very tense. He is an absolute maniac. They're making it very hard for me to believe he is innocent at times, and I'm liking that. What about you guys? You said you're watching it too?
I was absolutely sold. After watching Jake Gyllenhaal again, because I decided in the last few weeks to rewatch Roadhouse, after watching him like do that movie and then come back and watch him in this, the man is really a star. He's incredible. He really can just do no wrong at this point. I mean, he can, but. And the way they do paint him is like the person I'm watching the show with is yelling at the TV screen half the time because of how much of a scumbag he is and how much of a scummy situation he's gotten himself into. And it's a lot of fun experiencing it that way.
All I saw was David E. Kelly lawyer show. I'm in. And then I went, oh, wait, it's on Apple. I remember my Defending Jacob days. And I swear to God, if they just bork this like they did Defending Jacob, I'm going to be so pissed at the end of 8 episodes.
So true.
It's so good. Defending Jacob was so great the entire run until the final 25 minutes. And so that's where I'm at right now. This show's been really, really great. I've enjoyed Jake immensely in his role. There's a dream sequence that happens that I was like, oh shit, am I watching a different show for a minute that I was kind of taken aback by initially. But yeah, for the most part, this show's been really like I'm playing it as soon as it drops. Like, it's that good.
What are you watching, Troy?
I did finish Dark Matter over also on Apple TV Plus.
Of course.
For this movie, this show was done based on a book. The first season is the book. So from that perspective, it doesn't have anywhere else it needs to go. It is a complete single season story, which was really nice. What they did do, though, is at the end of the last episode, they did leave open some storylines that maybe go, oh, if they ever came back to this, they could follow this character for another season, or they could follow that character for another season. So they didn't paint themselves fully into a corner from a television perspective, but the author of the original book said it was always intended to be the book as they know it, done in one season. And it stuck the landing. I think it was a really cool take on the multiverse, a completely different way to look at it than dimensions or time. This is really more how do I create the multiverse paths in my own mind. So it's very much a psychology based show, and based on the Earths that I would go to, or the Chicago's I would go to in this case for this particular property, are based on how I feel, how I think, how I exist in that moment. And I thought that was a really cool take versus standard multiverse fare we've seen previously.
But it does end.
It does end.
So I don't need an end to come back. Because you know I don't like clones, nor twins, nor multiverse.
The way
every show ends. With Aaron these days, that first season, does the season end? What do you mean? Like, I mean, can I just
I'm
watch
not doing
the one
cliffhangers
first season?
Anymore, man. I'm not doing it. Not unless you give me a guaranteed renewal. I'm not doing
it's like that with every show now.
My time matters. My time matters.
The scientific logic of what happens in the final moment works to end the show.
Okay.
You do not need any more. You could, but you do not need any more.
Okay. All right. I'm in. I might check that one out. I have to check out The Americans first, though. That's like next on my bucket
list. Americans from FX?
Yeah. I still haven't watched
it. There's like 20 seasons of that show. Can you handle
that?
That
is a long slog, my friend.
It's like six seasons, right?
Yeah, but the Americans was a great show. The problem with the Americans is it suffered from the... Here's 44 minutes of really slow, drawn-out content, and then, holy shit, did that just happen? And then you watch the next one, and you go, oh, 44 minutes of this again. Holy shit, did that just happen?
I like slow burns, though, if it's well done.
It's
good. I keep
hearing
that it's well done.
Yeah, I would say for four seasons, it was really well done. And then it was kind of like, okay, we're at the point now where someone needs to like just end this. So the fifth and sixth season are kind of hard to get through, in my opinion.
Okay.
But it's good, and it finishes on a good spot. I would have liked a little bit more in one particular moment, but it's good. It's a good series.
John, what have you been watching?
Oh, I'm getting all into... Actually, there's a couple of things I watched.
That we haven't already talked about, I should say.
Oh, and I also watched... I've been watching Acolyte.
One at a time, one at a time. One at a time.
Oh, sorry.
Come back to it.
Sorry, I don't know we're going round robin.
Otherwise, we'll get John on a monologue for 7 minutes about everything he's ever seen.
That's true.
Well, I was going to say that on your recommendation, I did sit down and watch Tracker, and I watched the whole series, and that first season is a lot of fun. It's very formulaic, but it's charming. It's great to be able to just enjoy yourself and watch TV and not have to think too heavily about it. And yes, when Jensen Ackles shows up, it becomes a different show and even better. The other thing that I have been watching recently is the fourth and final season of Evil has started dropping on Paramount. That's Paramount, not Apple. Paramount. And that show...
Bought, so no, it probably would have been canceled anyway.
Yeah, probably would have been canceled anyway.
Skydance is going to cancel it. We don't like Evil.
And we don't like Evil, and we don't like the talk of devils and stuff like that because it's not part of Xenu. Anyhow...
Is this show as good as people make it out to be? It's just basically supernatural stuff, right?
It's supernatural stuff, and but the way they do it is they incorporate a lot of the world, but it's also they play with a lot of like is it really happening? Is it not really happening? Is it mental health? Is a lot
it's
of X-Files questions.
X-Files-ish. Skeptics versus believer.
Yeah, there's a little bit of skeptic. There is a skeptic in the whole thing. In the show, one of the main characters is actually two of the main characters are skeptics. Okay, three and a half. No, I'm sorry. Two characters are. I was being funny. Don't give me that look.
Were you though?
Huh?
I don't. You don't never. You just can't proclaim that I was being funny. I mean, it either was or it wasn't. Troy all didn't. Right, well. He didn't mute himself to go laugh. So I think that one was a.
Anyhow. two of the main characters are skeptics and one of them is a true believer. So they bounce off each other. One deals with a lot of the technology and science. One deals with
is
mental
he
health.
The
and-
kind of believer like the saxophone guy in Lost Boys? See, that was funny.
I wish that would be an amazing show. Just some guy busting through the wall doing the saxophone thing.
He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
It's John Hamm.
With a saxophone.
It's season four. It's starting to be, it's started off being a great season already. I'm having a lot of fun. Aaron, what about you? What do you got?
But this is the show that was originally on CBS back in the day, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. On CBS.
Yep, and it moved to Paramount Plus. Where they could be.
Yeah, they wanted to be able to say things like shit and fuck on it. So they moved it to Paramount Plus.
Well, because it was a bold choice to put this on CBS to begin with, because it's not typical CBS flair when it first aired, if I remember right, because it was the one reason I was interested in watching it. And then... CBS. So
how many pieces of flair did they have for religious iconography?
I'm counting. Hold on.
that's not a real question.
Well, wait a minute. CBS, didn't they own the CW?
Yeah, they did. It was on CBS. That and SEAL Team moved to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was going to say the reason why. Never mind. It's over with.
It is. What I've been watching, I have seen Beverly Hills Cop Axel F 3 times now. It's been out for like 2 weeks or a week and a half.
God, Aaron, there's so much stuff out there to be watching. There is. Why are you watching the same thing over and over again?
This made me feel good. It was a return to form. You've got Axel Foley. Yes, he's older. He's got a daughter. He's estranged. He's kind of a deadbeat dad in some ways. I don't like that. I hate when movies do that.
What do you mean kind of?
All right. He is a deadbeat dad in many ways. He reunites with his daughter and he's busting a case and trying to save Rosewood. And you've got the reuniting with Rosewood and Taggart, but we don't have any Bogomil. I don't understand why they never even mentioned it. He is still a working actor, Ronnie Cox, but apparently they said we don't have enough money in it. You got Joseph Gordon-Levitt shows up as another cop that helps as Foley basically is trying to crack the case and help his daughter. And, you know, there's a little conspiracy going on in here. They bring back the music from the first two movies. They pretend like the third movie really didn't even happen because Jerry Bruckheimer wasn't part of it. So it is my sweet spot. It's nostalgic. It's funny. It stands on its own. It stands with those first two movies, which are the only ones of that series I like. And it brings Eddie Murphy back where he gets to be Eddie Murphy again. Like, I loved it. And other people are saying, well, it sucked or this or that. I don't care what anyone thought. I loved it. And I've watched it 3 freaking times. It's been
I've watched it once and I loved it.
And I think it works for Netflix because Netflix is looking for movies like this that are like, it's enough like the original, yet different. But yet I can like have my second screen up and I can glance up and I don't have to be like completely invested in the movie to thoroughly enjoy it. So, yeah, I think that's why Netflix movies are the way they are. Netflix understands that Netflix is not the primary screen. Your phone is your primary screen. Netflix is your secondary screen. So the movies can't be overly complicated. If they're overly complicated and people look up and are confused, they'll turn it off. So they have to make very simplistic, formulaic movies for Netflix. That's why people always rip Netflix for not having real great, like, you know, epic sagas.
They suck, usually. They're mediocre. Yeah. They don't suck.
They're mediocre. Yeah, they're fine. They're just fine.
Wait, are you saying that they've come out and said this, or is this your...
They have said that they base everything on an algorithm, that they base their quality content on algorithms. True.
And that algorithm tells them whether or not somebody is on their phone while they're watching something else?
That's probably out of Troy's ass, but the algorithm part is real.
That was a study done on a site, on one of the trades that I was reading.
I'm going to need some documentation on this.
We're not Wall Street Journal, dude, so it's okay. But the algorithm thing is absolutely factual. That's been released multiple times. Reed Hastings has talked to it, the CEO. It's very much like their recipe for success is they create content based on algorithms, what their viewers seem to watch the most of. That's why you see a lot more true crime documentaries now, because people love them. And it's just anything that you... Bridgerton, they're going to, you know, you'll start seeing more things like a Bridgerton. You'll start seeing more things like Ozark, stuff like that. That's just how they work. Nostalgia is big in their algorithm. That's why they think Cobra Kai. And you start seeing them bring shows that were canceled on other networks. Evil might end up over there. You don't know.
Evil's already on there.
That's what Netflix does. But you said you love Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. Why did you love it?
I love it for all the reasons you're talking about. I love the fact that the music, because, okay, so this is what I did before I watched that movie. I watched the third one.
I'm sorry. You shouldn't have done that. That soundtrack is terrible in that movie. Freaking terrible.
I really should. It took me 3 nights. It took me 3 nights to watch the third. I started it and then I was like, okay, I need a break. And I went on something, did something else. And then the next night I put it back on again. I need a break. I can't do this. Like the whole, everything about the third one, not good. But I needed to remember why that third one wasn't good because I've only ever watched it one other time and watch it ever again. And, when I put this on, it was great. I loved the feeling of it. I loved how hard the music hits. Like they're like, especially compared to the third one with the soundtrack. The soundtrack is god awful in the third And this movie, the soundtrack just hits so hard and they knew exactly what they're doing with it. And they put it at all the right moments. And, they let Eddie Murphy kind of do his thing. And then there's the whole nostalgia aspect. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the perfect add-on to this. Even with Axel's daughter, she was pretty great. But the relationship that Eddie and Joseph Gordon-Levitt built, or the chemistry the two of them had on screen, was enjoyable, and it was a good substitute for the fact that you can't have you can't have Taggart or Billy doing all the physical stuff because, well, they're not capable.
Yeah, they're too old. And you can see, yeah. I mean, you don't see Eddie Murphy doing a whole lot of action stuff either. You know, if he's shooting, he's behind a pole somewhere. If somebody's jumping down some stairs, you only see him from the back. Like, Eddie's gone on record as, I'm too old for that shit. He's officially in the Murtaugh phase. But it doesn't mean that action doesn't happen. There's still a lot of action. A lot of things are happening. And you do have the younger cop that can take up some of that slack, which was a lot of fun.
The helicopter bit was the best.
Oh, man. There's a lot of fun. There was a lot of fun. And it felt very much like a Beverly Hills Cop movie, like the first two. And I know it mattered a lot that Jerry Bruckheimer was involved again, because his lack of involvement made no sense for the third one. It showed... Oh, God, there's an interview. You can find it on YouTube. I cannot remember the interviewer, but somebody interviewed John Landis, the director of Beverly Hills Cop 3, and who's a pretty famous director. I mean, he's done Blues Brothers and other ones. But
yeah, he's a big deal.
That movie was terrible, and that reviewer went on to basically say, this is the best one of the three. I mean, it just shows you she had no credibility at all, because it's just like, what are you talking about? And just kissing his ass left and right. And he's like, oh, thanks. That's great to hear. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like... No, be honest. This movie is terrible. Just say it's not what you expected or something, but to call it the best of the three, just, you seem like a shill. It's out there on YouTube. You can find it. It's wild. Anyway, great to see the music back. Love that. Very, very excited. I would watch another one if they got the whole team back together, but soon, because, I mean, Taggart, let's be honest, he shouldn't be working. You know what I'm saying?
He can run for president, though.
True story. Who's next? Troy. Anything else?
Yeah. Star Wars, Acolyte. So far, I think it's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
With it, because one episode is good, one episode is meh, one episode is good, one episode is meh. And what I really like about this is that it's 100 years before Phantom Menace, so it's exploring a completely different era than we've actually seen. But the one thing that it's really going to explore in this show is, you know, is the Jedi correct? Is the Jedi the right order, the right way of things? Are they holier than thou, high and mighty? And maybe they're not such good people after all. And I think those themes and theories are really interesting to play with. And because it doesn't have anybody that you would recognize or understand or know, it's all non-Skywalker. So Aaron will absolutely love it because of that. At the same time, it's one of these like 6 to 8 episode type dealies where some episodes hit and some episodes don't. So it has a little bit of a continuity flow for me right now. I think it would be better watched if you watch it when it's all completely out versus week to week. But I'm enjoying it enough. I just watched an episode that had like some of the most badass lightsaber fights and deaths that I've seen in Star Wars for a long time. The deaths, especially the deaths, they did not hold back on the deaths. Like, but there's just a really cool sequence when I was just like, did that just happen on Disney? Holy shit.
Yeah, that was a cool fight. But I will say it is very much like the Star Trek movies, right? Like, one's very good, the next one is terrible. Like you said, one's very good, the next one's very terrible. I am so conflicted on that show. I really dug the first one, and then I watched the second one. I'm like, this is hot garbage. And then I watched the next one. I'm like, all right, now I'm back in. Oh, now I'm out again. Now I'm back. Like, it's not consistent. That's the word I'm looking for.
Episode 3 has a really great backstory in episode 3 that you're just like, wow, I am now invested in this show.
The kids were terrible actors. I'm sorry, they were just not good.
Yes. But I mean, the concepts are really good in episode 3. And then in episode 4, they basically go on a walkabout in a jungle where nothing happens for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that was rough.
Like episode 4 could just be ripped out of the series completely.
That's what I'm saying. It's just not consistent. It's just not consistent. And I'm not one of those crazy review bombers. I'm just telling you, I'm being very factual. I want to love the show. I love Amanda Stenberg. I love her as an actress. I think she's a really interesting up-and-comer. She's going to blow up at some point and just be like a huge star. I just, for whatever reason, and this show is giving her opportunities to shine, right? And it's just, I just don't feel like the show is consistent enough to really grasp whatever it's trying to do. And that's what I miss, because there is, like Troy's talking about, there's some greatness in there. Like that, just that lightsaber battle alone should make you watch that. Just, we're not even ruining anything for it. We haven't said what it is or what happens, but it's just a fantastic, I think it's episode five.
Night.
So you got something great to look forward to. We're not going to tell you anything that happens or whatever, but there's just some amazing things in there. And there's also some really poor choices. So it's just, it's so inconsistent, and I don't get why it has to be like that.
That's something that I find a lot with a lot of Disney shows is that they don't seem to plan things out as well as the other shows that do this shorter episode format. I find that most of the Disney shows that I've watched have that problem where each episode, like, it's that filler episode and you don't know why they're throwing a filler episode in when they only have 6 or 7 or 8 episodes to work with. What's the point of this? Like, that's what the kind of I find a lot with when it comes to Disney.
It was the problem with Obi-Wan. It originally was supposed to be a movie. They tried to stretch it into a TV show because they have the streaming service. Disney makes movies, and that's exactly what they're doing with Acolyte. Acolyte should have been a freaking
feature
film and take out 2 or 3 of these episodes. It would have been a great 3-hour movie or 2.5-hour movie if you just cut some of the fat. And I think that's the problem, is that they're trying to push stuff onto Disney Plus because they don't have anything other than the back catalog. So there's nothing new coming out. So they're pushing these properties to make something new for streaming when they should just focusing on making good content and then put it wherever that, if it's 10 hours, great, put it on the streaming service. If it's 2 hours, great, put it in the theater.
I would so much rather go to a theater and see a Star Wars movie. I just would. That's what I want. And why we've had such a drought for so many years without one is inexcusable on Kathleen Kennedy's part, honestly. Inexcusable. They've had so many starts and stops in that wheelhouse that makes no sense to me. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's right, Kathleen Kennedy. I know you're listening to this.
Anything else, John, you want to mention before we move on?
Speaking of Netflix and movies that you can watch while you're doing something else, I did watch Trigger Warning with Jessica Alba.
Yeah, you took some time for that one, huh?
Yeah, okay. I did.
For Jessica, not for the movie.
I mean, she wasn't my favorite Jessica during the period of that time in which there was like 3 Jessicas you can choose from. She's not my favorite, but she's pretty close to my favorite.
It's a weird conversation. It sounds creepier the longer it goes. I'm just letting you know.
Anyhow, it's a fun movie.
Some people would be put on a list at this point. That's all I'm saying.
John's already on that list, though. He could just go all balls of the wall at this point.
I literally can't.
Poor phrasing.
It's a fun movie. It doesn't make a sense from time to time, but it's good for one of those
from
movies
that you want to see. None of that movie makes sense. She's I don't know, a freaking CIA operative or some random shit. And she comes home because her father was
murdered.
She thinks he was murdered. They don't know that. It seems like an accident or a suicide or whatever it was. And she's trying to uncover this plot. Fine. Seems like it's a great Steven Seagal setup. No problem. I have no problem with that ridiculous setup. It gets dumber and dumber. And the myth, and I didn't dislike it. I watched it on a plane. I made it through the whole movie. So I liked it enough.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to what the reason for all this is, it is the dumbest plot setup I've seen in forever. Cause I'm like, nobody figured this out. Nobody. You're kidding me. I won't ruin it for you because, by God, if you want to experience this on Netflix for yourself, go for it or go to Wikipedia or whatever. But it is mind blowing. And the end of the movie is mind blowing, too, because I'm like, so did everybody just fucking leave? Because why are they able to do this? Oh, I can't even speak to it. But if you saw the movie, you should know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He's not wrong about any of those things. The iguana, I don't even know what the purpose of the iguana was, but hey, you know what? Troy did say the words that Netflix makes movies so that you can watch your phone while you're watching TV. This is a good one for that.
Sure. Sure. We're not convinced he knows what he's talking about, but it does fit that predicament.
It does fit that. You can have your laptop on. You can be doing a job search. You could be in the middle of writing a paper and you can have this on and it'll be fantastic.
Yep. And she's still got it. I mean, she's always been good with choreography and whatnot. So
yeah, she still has it. And the guy from the Night Agent is on it and in it too. And he's fun.
He's fine, I think is the word I would use, but sure.
Okay.
I just had a hard time with the plot device. I would be on board and then it would be, wait, what? And then it would be, okay, all right, I'll get on board. And then you get to, oh, I'm serious, that last thing, the last reveal, I just wanted to slam my head against the window but of my plane, but I was afraid I might be a Boeing and I just end up flying out the window. So, you know, they don't make them very resilient, is what I'm saying. All right, let's move on to our From the Outside In topic. No, movie theaters aren't dead. We're going to talk about how movie theaters definitely aren't dead, why they're not dead, and why I wish you would just stop referring to them as dead, because it's just frustrating for me. Not just because I'm a cinema lover, but because it's not accurate and it drives me nuts and I'm tired of arguing with people. So let's talk about your experiences first. When you go to the movies now, what's it like for you? And all of us, you know, speak your own true experiences. Like everybody's just right in their own way. I mean, this is your experience. Doesn't have to be like what everybody goes through. Your experience. What's it like?
You know, for me right now, it's pretty simple. I go to the theater. Most of the time, it's on a Saturday. It's in the middle of the day. It's at a theater that nobody goes to.
Is this still the fancy one that you like?
Or? No, I haven't even been to the fancy one since I've been back in town.
Okay.
I will be going to the fancy one for Deadpool because I reserve the fancy one for the movies that I have to see there. But I go, you know, you and I went to the theater that I go to the most when you were recently here in town visiting. And mm-hmm. it's a quiet little theater. They have a lot of seats. They have that are empty. They have a line. Some kid that's picking his nose is usually on the counter. It's not bad. And as far as watching movies there, it's not exciting, but the movies themselves are just as enjoyable than at the fancy theater.
Okay. Trey, what's your experience?
Pretty much the same. I try to go to all my stuff inside of the Dolby Cinema that we have here in town. We got two of those, one, you know, up towards the border and then one closer to me. But both of those I've gone to, they're both operate and work exactly the same. Popcorn's still the same at AMC. Snacks are still the same at AMC. The cool thing is that I usually buy a kids pack because of the price, because I get popcorn, fruit snacks, and a drink for a very low price of $7.99. And they just started allowing bottled water to be part of that rather than having to force you to take a fountain drink. So I thought that was a really nice uptick because I don't usually drink pop. So getting a bottle of water is awesome. So for the most part, like, theaters seem no different than they seemed prior to the pandemic at this point. My choice is that I just usually go now on a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning so that I can avoid all the rest of the people.
Sure. Now, when I go one night, I go the same night every single week. Like I go the exact same night. I love going on Thursdays, which are kind of like the new midnight, since we don't do midnight showings anymore. So Thursday night, 7 o'clock or whatever, they have the showing for the new movies. That's when you go to see it. That's when I like to go. Devoted fans are there. It's usually the diehards for whatever it is. And that's my favorite time to go. Go to normal theater that we would always go to, have a great time. Usually semi-crowded, not really busy because it's Thursday. If I do go on a weekend, I mean, it's just like it's always been. It might be busier for different movies. Sometimes it's packed. I saw Inside Out 2, and it was absolutely packed on a Saturday. I saw a couple other things, and they were pretty packed. So it really just depends on the movie, obviously. But the experience is not much different. There's a little less people this year than there was last year, but I think a lot of that has to do with some stuff we're going to talk about, like the lack of really exciting content this year because of the strikes last year. Makes a big difference. But overall, experience hasn't really changed that much. I don't get, now maybe it could be a factor of my theater, but I do go to other theaters. I hardly ever get people on their phones or talking or anything else in my theater. I usually don't have, do you guys have that experience? I know I see some people saying, that's why I don't go. It always happens to me. It never happens to me. Now, maybe it's because I go on Thursday and they're more exciting. But even when I go on the weekends, I usually don't have that problem unless it's a kid's movie. And when I always say, if it's a kid's movie, you should know that going in. If it's a family movie, you're going to get kids talking. That's just the way it goes. And if you don't like it, don't go see a kid's movie. I don't know what to tell you. But do you guys have that problem?
No, I mean, I know we have a specific friend, listener out there on the East Coast that he complains all the time about being interrupted by people's phones or talking or whatever and the lack of 3D. But the thing that I've realized the most, the only time I've really been, I think, disrupted in the theater was Ghostbusters Afterlife, where the kids, like, right in the climax of the whole, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to start tearing up at this moment. It just, you know, threw a candy wrapper and I thought it was a spider that crawled down my shirt. But for the most part, like,
that's funny.
I don't see, I'm not looking for it either. And I think the theaters that I'm sitting in is designed a certain way that I can't see, you know, once you hit the recliner a little bit, like, you can't see down a row, right? Because you're positioned your body in a way that your eyesight is always looking at least at the bottom of the movie screen. Mm-hmm. So I think that also helps. But yeah, I don't have that same, there's not really a lot of, like, disruption or whatnot, but I also go at, you know, 11:30 in the morning on a Saturday. So you're not going to run into that at those time frames either. So if it's a problem, just go to a different time.
Yeah, it's been pretty hit or miss for me where whether or not there's some weirdness going on in the theater. And sometimes the person that I've gone to the theater with is the cause of some of the weirdness. That hasn't happened so much, but because they happen to listen to the show. And right now he's saying this to his phone as I'm saying this, that I have besmirched his name.
No, he besmirched his own name by leading himself into the abyss.
Right.
Evil.
All I know
he's
is that
evil.
We're 50 cents richer because you guys used that word twice.
Anyhow, it's not something that I notice as much. But again, I'm going on a Saturday afternoon, usually early afternoon, usually not during the prime times. And it's usually a quieter crowd when I'm going to the theater. So I haven't been to the theater since it's in the times in which it's usually packed. And the theater that I go to is a bit of a trek to get to as far as for most people. It's not the one that most people run to. So it's not ever that busy.
Yeah. And I don't want to throw shade on anybody that has that problem that seems to, you know, deal with that regularly, like Troy just did to listen to East Coast. But I mean, if you have it, I do think there's psychology to it, right? If it happens to you all the time, you're probably looking for it or you're focused on it. Or, I mean, just go to find a different theater. I don't know, but I mean, it could be a lack of options. Who knows? I just, you know, for whatever reason, I just don't have that problem. And I go to movies all over the country when I'm traveling and stuff, and I just never have the issue. But I also don't, I'm pretty good at tuning things out and just, like, not caring. And if it is a family movie, I expect it. And it doesn't bother me because I expect it. So maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. Or maybe it's where you sit. Sometimes that can be a factor too. So what is different? What's the same? Like, now seeing a movie versus pre-COVID, Troy?
The only thing really different, three things that are different. Nicole Kidman is different.
Oh,
they actually had Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in the Nicole Kidman ad the last time I saw it. And I was like, well, that's, like, really progressively updated. That's amazing. The AMC opening sequence is different. And also the Dolby Cinema experience has been changed. So that's completely different as well. Otherwise, everything else is exactly the same. The bathrooms actually might be a little bit cleaner.
No.
Probably depends where you go.
Probably depends where you go.
Yeah, you're going when they just open. So of course, the bathrooms are being cleaner then.
Right.
All that's been there, grandmas. They have their bathroom on them. And grandpas. I wasn't, you know, I was specifying. Sorry, John, I didn't mean to lose you with that Depends commercial.
I don't notice much that's different. I don't think that I'm seeing as many people in the theater that I used to see. It used to be a thing when I go to the theater. There used to be a line and there'd be theater, you know, all that used to be there. I don't see them as being as heavily impacted as they used to be. And I don't know if that's because of the way they do their ticketing systems now. Some theaters do the ticketing at the counter as opposed to at the front where you have to stop at two different places, you know, one to get your ticket and then one to get your highly priced snacks. Sometimes you can actually go right to the snacks and get your ticket at the same time. I don't know if there's a lot of that that's making the difference, but on one hand, I don't notice there's that much of a difference besides the fact that I don't feel like we're in a place where we are seeing the same sort of crowds.
I mean, I do think that's true, but I also think this year in particular, again, because we have a great lack of content that is exciting people, you're not going to see crowds. And the thing is, like, it was always expected to be that way. theater owners have been talking about it since early last year, that if we have these strikes, it's going to impact audiences and we're not going to have the content to bring people in 2024. And you're going to have to basically call it a write-off year, which is not a write-off year because some movies are really, really popped. And summer is actually, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but it's already catching up to where it would be anyway. So I don't know. I mean, I do think you still have, you probably have too many theaters still out there. So that's, you're spreading content thin. Maybe they keep them, I don't know. They put them on digital way too early. The windows are too short anymore. So that's going to dilute the crowd, especially after the first weekend. There's some factors there too. So what do you wish would change to make it a more enjoyable experience?
I've talked about this a few times, I think, but I still say that the movie theater should be more of a old school, to paint a picture of it, when in Orphan Annie, the movie, when Daddy Warbucks takes her to go to see a movie, it becomes an event. Mm-hmm. It becomes this whole thing where they're dressed up for it. They're ready to sit down and see this whole presentation of a movie in front of them. And it's an event. And now it doesn't necessarily need to be something where you have to get dressed up for it or anything, but it should be an event for the kind of money that we're dropping on this sort of experience on 2 hours of our lives. It should be something where we are, catered to in a much different way. We're catered to in a way that is more B or A level treatment, as opposed to just having some kid with a peach fuzz mustache, you know, yelling at us for being in the wrong seats or something. It should be something that's a lot more of an event.
What catered to you? I mean, no offense, but ticket prices are relatively the same. So you're $10-$11 on average ticket. That hasn't changed in many years.
No, $10 and $11 ticket price, that's right. But you know, when it comes to the ticket price, then you're getting your snacks. The snacks are getting expensive. You know, make those snacks something different.
What do you want them to do? Do you want them to like come out and give you a little slap on the ass, or like what are you looking for here? Like
that's a good start.
What's the level of service that would make you a happy guy?
You know, if they had a guy in the bathroom who would spit on the toilet paper for me before I wiped, that would be great too.
Okay, let's try this again. That's not going to make it. Try again.
Did I find the line?
Yep, that would be a line.
He was polishing his ass before he smacked it. That's all.
Yeah, you know.
You know what? No, let it live. It's all on you. That's on you, John. Enjoy. I don't want to do the work this week. I don't. You're going to have to live with it. Enjoy.
I don't care. You know, I live in Florida. They're all like, yeah, we all know about that.
Trey, what about you? What would change? Wow. What do you wish would make it a more enjoyable experience? And wow, that was weird. But go ahead.
Really only one thing at this point for me, and that is bring back the COVID seating policy. Just give me a little, not like a whole seat, but like a half a seat space.
Break it into a half a seat.
Well, I mean, like reconfigure the theaters. I mean, these seats have been in there for a while.
Do you ever really get people sitting right next to you, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody sits clustered to see the center of the screen. It was that whole like at $1.50 to the charge of the premium seats versus $1 less on the outsides or whatever. Everybody clusters to the middle when this entire theater is empty. So let's go ahead and just, you know, stretch it out a little bit and take out a few seats so we can make some space.
And I know this will make some streaming.
Oh, lovers. And I would
fuck my opinion. Let's just fuck it. Fuck it.
I would
be sure I get a whole sentence in before you come back and say, I've got more to add. God damn it, Troy. God damn it, Troy.
This is on you because you thought he was done.
That's
this
right.
This is on you.
We've done this for 12 years. Like, what the hell, dude? Recliners in the IMAX theaters. Because IMAX, they set up the theaters so they can fit a lot more people in there without reclining chairs and to get them closer to the screen for the IMAX experience. But, like, I want to lean back a little bit. Like, let me lean back a little bit in IMAX.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah, now I'm done.
Okay. I want longer theatrical windows reestablished. People won't like it. They want to, you know, see stuff at home tomorrow. I don't like it. I know that it's hurting the theatrical experience. They know that it's hurting their overall business, which is why they're already looking at extending them. And I think that Now, I'm saying this as a cinema lover. I know if you love streaming, you're against this, and that's your right, too. Everybody's got their preference, right? I think it's very important that both models succeed because you need one for the other. You really do need theatrical. They make way more money on theatrical. You're going to get better movies if you have a theatrical business. As you can see from the quality of streaming films, it sucks because they can't keep putting $100 million or $200 million into their movies and making their money back unless they're Netflix. Netflix is the only one that can actually make that bet, and they're not really doing great with it. I mean, look at the quality of their films.
Let's talk about the first problem is that nobody needs to be putting $100 million, $200 million into a movie to begin with.
Unless it's like a Star Wars, probably not. Yeah.
Yeah. Like perfectly good movies made for well under that number.
I agree.
Godzilla.
Minus
one.
The Creator.
Example. There's a lot of
Creator.
People need to go and support them as well in the theater when they're out there. But longer theatrical windows for anybody, I've talked about it before, but anybody that doesn't understand, it's the time from when a movie hits theaters to the time it's available on digital. Currently, there are sometimes digital, it's 2 weeks.
Well, does it digital to own or digital to stream?
Starts at digital, different numbers. Starts digital to own / stream. You can rent it or buy it. Then it goes to whatever streaming service if it's owned by one of them. Either way, from the window from going to the from opening the theater to digital needs to be 30 days. That's it. 2 weeks is too short because if people know they can get it in a week, like Fall Guy is a factor of that. The actual word of mouth was working very well on the Fall Guy. People were still going to see it. And then it dropped 2 weeks after it released because it had a bad opening weekend, despite word of mouth connecting. So it would have done better if they had just waited, but they kind of got nervous and they jumped the gun and threw it on online.
I'm shocked you said 30 days. I would have gone 45.
No, 30 is fine. I think it's a compromise. I think there should be a compromise that 30 is a good number to go to where you can rent it and, you know, for $20 or whatever at home. And then you go another month or so, and then it can go on streaming if you want to. And then anybody that wants to watch it on their streaming service, 2 months. You can't wait 2 months. I don't know what to tell you, but to me, that's more than fair. And it keeps both businesses viable. Keeps both of them. Everybody's got plenty of content. Nobody has to see it this second if you don't really want to. So that's one.
And it's still shorter than the original 90-day window.
Sure. Yeah. Two is the previews have to come down. I love trailers. 20 minutes is too long. People are sick of it. People are basically not even showing up now until 20 minutes into the movie. And then, you know, now you got people interrupting the actual movie because you have so many goddamn trailers. It just shouldn't be that long. Or if you're going to do that, advertise the starting time of when here's the time we're going to begin the trailers. Here's the actual start time for the film. Advertise the accurate time. I know they say, well, expect 20 to 25 minutes, but it's never the same time frame. So that time changes. Some movies I've been to, it's been 15 minutes. So you can't bank on 20 because you might miss it. And that's not fair to anybody that's, you know, wanting to see it. And we also three, Nicole Kidman has to go. She has to go, yeah. Not from the world. She can stay and remain a wonderful actress, but man, nobody enjoys seeing her anymore in AMC. Nobody.
I don't need an ad to get me to go to the theater where I already have an
never
monthly
did, Troy.
Subscription.
Never did. Never did.
Yeah. We're already here. We don't need an ad for this.
No, it's got to go.
Then there's like the roller coaster that you got to go on that, you know, is advertising Coke and all the candy, sure, and all that other stuff. There's whatever other thing that's like that, that's useless. Like if you're going to do it, it's just jump right into the trailers.
Yeah. And don't put the AMC candy Coke roller coaster thing at the end of the trailers. Put it as the first thing, because then I'll get up and I'll go get something because I got 20 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a better place to have it.
I never really thought about that. That's an excellent. Well, they do have one at the beginning, I think. But
small,
man,
short, but
the
yeah,
really good one that is like, you know, full of dancing and car chases and everything else, that is right before the movie starts. What, you want me to leave now? Finally, the movie's going to freaking start. Oh, wait, never mind. Nicole Kidman showed up.
I don't need the film commercial from the film students drinking Coke in the movies. Like, I don't need that anymore. That has to, like, actually, you can keep the previews. Just get rid of Nicole Kidman, the roller coaster, and the film students. We're good.
I do like when the specific movies have like an entry where they give some little introduction and tell you to turn your phone off and stuff like that before. I like that. I do find that's fun. Where you get Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman or whatever, whoever it is, just introducing, saying, all right, turn your phones off. Don't be a dickhead. I love those.
Yeah, I can't imagine why that's on his mind. Can you, Troy?
Yeah.
Because they're weird. Both handsome fellows, I guess. What about your friends and family? Do they still enjoy going? Just going by your experiences?
No, they only go when it's a big thing, right? So like Barbenheimer, sure, we went and saw Barbie as a group. Inside Out 2, sure, when is the family? When is a group? Right? It's the number of those like tent pole blockbuster type events are few and far between still.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it's hard, and especially if you have a family of four, like John was saying, it's hard to not go on a Tuesday because Tuesday is the only way you can afford it.
That's fair. I mean, if you only go once in a while, that's very, very fair. I'm not knocking anyone who is financially restricted or anything.
And Tuesday's a great day to go. $7.
Busiest day of the week.
Yeah.
I have one friend that I go to the movies with consistently. And then for the bigger events, we try to get a group together. Like for Deadpool Wolverine, we're getting a bigger event together to go see it.
For sure.
Yeah. One of us, somebody's actually gone ahead and bought a whole row for all of us to go see the movie with. And
Twisters might be that way too. It's possible.
Twisters might be that way. Yeah. But as far as my family goes, my family's never really been big about, I'm a little bit different than my family, but a lot of them going to the theater was something they didn't really do. Sure. And so it wasn't something that I got to do with my family growing up, and it's not something that I do with my family now. So it just is what it is.
I find that the people that love to go to the movie theater before still do. And the people that preferred to stay home and watch cable are those same people. Like it didn't really, I don't know anybody. And I've got a lot of fans or friends who are theater lovers. I don't know anybody that's really changed over the years. Like if they like to go before, they still go. Maybe they have kids and they can't go as often, but they still prefer to go to a theater or they still prefer to stream, you know, or watch cable at home, whatever, watch House of the Dragon, whatever. So I don't really see much in terms of changing, but I do want to point to some numbers. Okay. Cause this whole episode, people have probably been screaming saying bullshit, theaters are dead. I read an article about it. Collider had some shitty article about it. And then they also spoiled 3 or 4 TV shows. By the way, Collider, fuck you. You spoiled 2 things for me in the past week. Not a fan. Not a fan of you at all. You're off my feed. Okay, sorry. I lost a little bit. They really spoiled the Huge Boys thing. Really pissed me off. Put it right there in the goddamn in the byline, if you can believe that. In the headline. Sorry. All right, back to what I was saying. So, went on a tangent. On a typical summer, box office hits $4 billion, right? That is pretty common for the last 10 years. 3.8, there's been a couple of those. 1.7, of course, the summer of 2020, we can't even count that. 4.4. There's a lot of 4 billions. So as of right now, we are about, at the time of this recording, 1.8 billion. And that's with a very slow May. And before you peep up screaming, it's all Inside Out 2, which just became Pixar's biggest movie worldwide. Every summer has an Inside Out 2, or a Barbie, or a Top Gun Maverick, or a Lion King, or Jurassic World. This is not uncommon. Happens every summer, except for 2020. Happens every single summer. I just think
even then it was Tenet.
What's that?
Even 2020, though, it was Tenet.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, there was one, but not like the Barbie level, right? It didn't make $500 million. But there's always one that does that kind of mega business. Before, you know, if you think Barbenheimer was this massive anomaly, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. And also, Oppenheimer wasn't nearly as massive as Barbie. It was really more Barbie and then Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer did really well, but it wasn't Barbie. Anyway, so I'm just saying that we're already at almost half of what that $4 billion would be. You still have July left. You've got 2 really big movies coming and a couple things in August. And if there would have been more of that content created last year, you would have a couple more movies to fill those slots and get people excited. May would have been a much more exciting time if Captain America would have still been on the schedule as it was originally intended, you know, but they pulled that off. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. So stop believing the hype. It's not accurate. I'm giving you numbers. These are facts. This is very consistent from the last 10 years. Now, if you go year by year, yes, it's down. It's down because of what I've already talked about, but not, oh my God, it's over down. It's just like, oh, it's down. Like everything else is down. Like literally everything else that you hear about on TV. last year was actually recovering quite nicely. We were pretty close to returning back to the previous years. It was actually almost $9 billion in 2023, and the last full year was 2019, and that was $11 billion. So that recovery was going forward, and it went 2021 was $4.4 billion, 2022, $7.3 billion, 2023, $8.9 billion, and we're currently at $3.8 billion. And again, a lot of that is because of content. Because the strikes happened last year, and for 6 months, movies weren't getting made. And what do you know, this year, it's been a bit dry in the content. That brings less people out to the movie theaters. So I'm just letting you know that the theater owners talked about this all year last year. The Theater Owners Association had many meetings about it. They talked about 2024 was going to be quite a struggle, especially for the first three quarters, because there's a lot less content. That's what the numbers and the details say. Not all these stupid clickbait articles that want you, because they live on fear. They want you to click on it. They want people that want them want the theaters dead to just scream, yay, they're dead. And they want people that love the theaters to be, no, don't kill them. They just want people to click on their shit. That's literally all it is. It drives me mad. That leads me to this. So I feel like ever since COVID happened, there's a small subsect of people who keep hoping for movie theaters, their demise, right? So they never have to leave the house to see the newest and bestest movies at home. But again, it's a resilient model. It survived VHS, it survived DVD, cable, now streaming. This year's first half, again, struggled from a lack of exciting content due to those strikes. But it wasn't a surprise. So why is it you think people, why can't people who love streaming just be happy for people who still love going to the cinema? Can either of you really explain this to me?
Because America.
Is it really as simple as that? Like, people just love to shit on other people's loves?
Yeah, people do not want to be human anymore. People want to be me, my opinion. And I have to be loud, and I have to put it out there and be first and be best and be right.
So you got to be Apple.
I was about to say something about how that it can't be that simple, but now I'm thinking about it. Maybe it is that simple.
Well, obviously facts don't matter much, because I just went over all the facts and like the numbers don't.
Well, facts don't matter much when it comes to anything out there for any fandom or anything that you prefer. Facts no longer matter. It just depends on what the article that they can pull up that has the subject line in which they can show in somebody's face and what they're trying to say. Whereas if they read the body, they would understand that no, that's not what's really happening. They just gave us a subject line that does something else. I think this goes back to a lot of different things that we talked about recently. We did that episode about negativity and why are we so apt to listen to negativity as opposed to positivity, which if you like a conversation about that, that's a really great episode to listen
to. I'll link it to the show notes for sure.
Yeah, I think it has a lot more to do with just how we're wired these days to be just overly more negative. We have nothing but shout boxes in which and this isn't just an America problem. This is a world problem. We have all these shout boxes in which we can sit there and just run into a room, shout whatever we want, and then leave. And then the problem is that there's too many people who are doing all the same thing. And there's a small subset of people who's gathering all this information. And then they're saying, well, look what these people who are constantly repeating themselves, but if you count them each separately, it's a whole lot of people when it's really a small subset of people who just decide to shout and leave. I think I have a full thought in there.
I think so. I think it was pretty accurate.
Well, it's the same people on different accounts and different services. Just, you know, it's not even like a large group of people. It's like the same people that have now hacked the internet to become this like shout box, but it's really not a lot of people. It's the same people on different accounts. And then so it's the problem,
or they're bots.
Yeah,
or that's the other thing.
And then,
the AI comes in,
and the AI gobbles that all up, and then the AI regurgitates it. And it's the problem with technology is that you still need human curation, and we don't have human curation currently.
Because people want to fight. People want to defend what they love, like regardless of facts. It's what I think that matters, right? That's where we're at. So
then there's no real way to do human curation with the amount of stuff that there is out there. It's a drop in the bucket when it comes to what human curation can do versus how quickly it's coming out.
Which basically comes down to make your own decisions for yourself. use critical thinking and make your own choice. Don't just be a puppet.
I think people do, right? I think most people I know are normal. So maybe it is just all bots. Because when I talk to people, they're mostly pretty, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are people that just don't want to go to the theater. It's too expensive for them. Or they, wherever, for whatever reason that their particular theaters, they have bad experiences and they don't want to have to go through that. Me, I say I'm far more distracted at home. I want to go to a movie theater where I can just disappear. Can't do that at home. I'm sorry, but if you have your phone out, you're not paying attention to the movie. You're not paying attention to the show, whatever it is. That's how I see it. That's how I, you know, take in entertainment. Everybody else has their own way. So whatever works for you. I don't give a shit. I just want to go enjoy it the way I want.
I really don't think movies are that expensive, because even if like Aaron and I are probably a bad example because we have the AMC membership, right?
It's not a bad example. More people should get it.
Yeah, $24 a month. Whether I go to the movie or not, the total number of movies over the course of the year that I will see will equate to being less per ticket than buying the ticket straight up.
I come out ahead every
unless I go on a Tuesday.
Right.
Right. Sure. Which I would never do because I'm already paying $24 a month, so I gotta go at least to 2 full price movies. And it includes 3D and it includes Dolby and it includes IMAX. So you can see what the movie's supposed to look like in the best possible format just by giving up, you know, 3 drinks at Starbucks a month. Because you're doing 3 drinks at Starbucks a month or some premium coffee service.
That part is always funny to me. People always complain, whatever it is, right? Whatever, they're complaining about the cost of one thing, but they'll go to Starbucks and spend $5 or $6 on a coffee.
5 days a week.
It's, yeah. Priorities.
Times four.
Sure. Like I would give up coffee or whatever else to go to the movie. Like I would just have a really shitty lunch so I could go to the movie once a week. That's what I love to do. I get it. But don't say that something's wrong just because you don't want to do that. It's just, or it's too expensive. No, you could probably figure it out. You just have to give up something else. And if you don't want to, that's fine. It's your right. It's all good.
I mean, it is down, right? Because these numbers that we were looking at, even for summer or the year totals, you know, they're not adjusted for inflation. So
you can't, you know, you can't count inflation. If you counted inflation, there is zero movie in the last 40 years that would trump Gone with the Wind. So you just can't do it, because you also, the competition, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get loud, but I've had this, I've studied this one very, very deeply, very deeply. There is zero compare. You cannot compare it fairly and accurately. Each time period is different. Each time period has a different set of factors and a different set of environments. So it just does not work.
Sure. But 10 billion 10 years ago is different than 10 billion now.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. But you also have 10 billion more options now than you had, you know, I'm sorry, when Gone with the Wind came out, there was that and going to a fucking dance. That's about it. There were like 2 things to do in town. Maybe you can get a gallon of milk somewhere. That was about it.
Do a vaudeville show or go to the movies.
Finally, yeah. Go to the diner and see Marty McFly. That's like, those are your options. You know,
I'm not talking about like inflated adjusting like the 1930s. Sure. I'm just in the last 10 years, right? 2014 to 2018, like those numbers were big numbers, right? $11 billion, almost $12 billion in 2018.
And it dropped, but it was building back up. But we also came off the, you know, a ridiculous time where they shut everything down for like a year, or at least to the absolute basic minimum. And that turned people off because people were petrified. So people were petrified to go. People had to reinvest in even going outside, let alone a movie theater.
Yeah. So I think what you have to do is you have to look at the percentage change over those periods of time. And you're still saying that we're, you know, the last year we were up 20%, 21% over the previous year, 64% the year before.
Yeah, it was growing again.
So that linear graph, I mean, it is going to plateau at some point in time. Like 2017, you know, was down 3% compared to 2016. It was up 2%. That's probably where we plateaued, was in 2017. You know, and then 2019 took a dip again after 2018's rebound. So it's all based on content. Content has to be there for people to want to go. And hopefully Q4 of this year will save 2024 when we have hashtag moaned on Thanksgiving weekend.
I thought it was Gladiator and Wicked. Isn't it Gladiator and Wicked?
No, Gladiator's the week before.
I thought they changed the same date. I could be wrong.
Maybe they've updated since I last saw it, but
I think, hang on. Yep, they're on the same day now. So it's Wickiator or something like that.
Wickiator.
Glicked.
So we have Wicked, Gladiator, and Moana the same day?
No, I don't know if Moana is still that day.
Or Moana is still Thanksgiving and Wicked moved up a weekend. Glad he moaned.
But there's movies coming out. That's what I'm saying. There's stuff to be excited about. That's what it's all about. And there are theaters that are investing in more movies. There are even more positive plans going forward. Sony bought the Alamo Drafthouse, so they see a future there. We'll see what happens with that. Regal is investing $250 million in the overall experience at Regal Theaters, which is the number two chain in America, and AMC Theaters is upgrading its digital projectors to laser projectors by 2026. Movie theaters aren't going anywhere. They're not dead. They're here to stay. That's it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, if you choose, buy popcorn. That's how you go out, bitches.
So angry.
Go fuck yourself, John.
I'm gonna go fuck myself again, right?